Chapter 20. Androvale. Waiting by the crossroads that led to Duke Naven's manor house, Willem fluffed his full sleeves and smoothed his stockings. He'd received a message yesterday from the Duke, instructing him to meet the carriage of a noblewoman driving north. She and her layabout retinue were probably taking their sweet time over the groaning tables at Buttermilk Inn. He might be hanging here half the day, so he hobbled Syrup and let him graze on the new spring shoots. Willem used his cap to beat some dust off his clothes and ran his hands through his curly hair. Then he sat, placing his back against a tree, scratching the itchy patch on his shoulder blade against the bark and shielding his face from the sun with his hat. His head felt muzzy because he and Stalia had stayed up later than their wont. Stalia was fretting about Wren. Well, he couldn't blame her. The child acted strange, almost fey. Although she'd been with them for several moons now, she barely talked to them, and she would duck away from their glance. Waters forbid they should try to hug her. Wren's world revolved around Percy, and she used her foster sister as her mouthpiece to convey any wants or needs. She shrank away from villagers, no matter how kindly Sister Nelsipetta addressed her or how often people tried to win her heart. She wouldn't join in when Percy played with her little friends, Duva or Nettie. "Was she raised by fairies?" Stalia had griped. "She don't know how to do the simplest tasks. I had to show her how to peel potatoes. And she drops her clothes as if magic hands are going to appear to pick them up. I have to stay on her to get her to do her chores."
"Well, we don't know how they lived in Anders Wood. Probably they didn't grow taters."
Stalia had continued, unheeding. "She eats like a bird. Sometimes I see that little mouth pull down as if my good food tastes like slops. She's such a puny little thing."
"She's helpful with Syrup and the chickens," Willem had offered. "She does fine in her lessons, and Percy thinks the stars shine in her eyes."
"I know. Yesterday, they didn't notice me, and I overheard them playing some game while planting seeds. Wren spun some fanciful tale about ogres and giants in a prince's forest, and Percy sat back on her heels, entranced. So Birdie can talk when she's comfortable, when she wants to. She's got imagination inside of her. Mayhap from living all alone."
"Well, now they have each other, right?"
Willem had rubbed his hand through his hair.
"What can we do?
We just need to give her more time. She's still grieving, but she's young. She'll come round to us." Willem had fallen into a doze in the shade when vibrations woke him up. He stood up and readied Syrup as the dust cloud resolved. He'd expected the coach and six, but not the 20 accompanying guards, all decked out in armour, their halberds held high. An officer hailed him.
"Are you the guide?"
Yes, sir."
Willem doffed his cap and inclined his head.
"Duke Naven asked me to show you to the manor. Are you expecting highwaymen?"
He inclined his head toward the formidable troop with a smile. The officer didn't deign to answer.
"Lead on, then, and mind you set a good pace."
Willem took the right fork and waited for the driver to turn the carriage. The manor house lay 2 leagues and 2 more turns away.
"Now they're in a hurry. Come on, Syrup, this is when you gotta earn your corn."
He cantered ahead, often turning to gaze over his shoulder at his charges as the coach and riders navigated the narrow road that ran between fields bordered by white poplar trunks, their bare branches just aching to pop their leaves. Occasionally, Willem raised his hand to a farmer in the distance, coaxing his plough through leftover winter clods and the sticky mud of spring. But the travellers ignored all the locals. Duke Naven had ruled the Duchy of Andrevale for some 3 decades with genuine concern, both for its people and his profits. He had a big chest, a hearty voice, and a warm manner. Duchess Naven was more reserved and preferred to have only such contact as necessary. Willem wondered if she was generally shy or whether her manner connoted upper-class snootiness. The party rode in through the manor gatehouse, saluted by 2 of the Duke's guardsmen, who were expecting them. In their brown ducal robes, the Duke and Duchess and all the little duchettes stood politely lined up outside the grand entry of the manor house, just like a painting, waiting to greet this noble woman. The officer of the guards escorted the august passenger down the carriage steps. She turned out to be a portly older woman with amber hair in ringlets. She wore a dress of black and gold brocade with elaborate sleeves and pink slashing.
"Duchess Latley, what an honour to have you visit us," said Duke Naven, coming forward with a bow.
"Thank you, Naven. You need to maintain your roads better. I do believe that was the most jolting trip I've ever had." "Ah, Duchess, how fine to see you. Girls, you look very nice indeed. Your mother has turned you out quite prettily."
Willem dismounted in the courtyard, intending to take Syrup around to the stables for the lads to care for. His task accomplished, his mind turned ahead to stopping round the kitchen door for a plate of whatever they had handy and a big tankard of ale or hard cider. Oft-times, Naven's baker would offer him a packet of gingerbread or sweet cakes for his girls. Mayhap a treat like that would spark his new daughter's appetite.
"Won't you come in to Naven Manor?" he heard the Duchess behind him invite her guest.
"I do believe I'll just have a stirrup cup out here a moment. There's a bit of business we must see to first."
"Orest," Naven called to his long-time chamberlain. "Fetch Duchess Latley a cup of wine and bring her a chair. But what kind of business is it, Latley, that you must conduct out of doors?"
"Duke Naven," said the officer who accompanied the carriage, striding forward, accompanied by 6 of his guards, "I have orders from the Lord Regent to search your house, barn, outbuildings, indeed the entire hamlet. I request that you, your family and your entire household remain outside right here under our watch as we do so."
Willem halted his progress toward the rear of the manor and turned around in amazement to see strange guards surrounding the ducal family.
"What?" cried Duke Naven. "Sir, have you gone mad? Atlee, what kind of nonsense is this?"
Orest reappeared with a generous golden cup and a footman carrying a leather sling chair. Duchess Latley let the silence build until she was settled in the seat and had gulped at the cup.
"The Lord Regent has sent me to make sure that no one is hiding the Princella," she said, primly blotting her lips with a kerchief. "Hiding the Princella? Why would I be hiding the Princella?"
Duke Naven swayed on the balls of his feet.
"Well, someone's secreting her away, Naven. I do hope it's you, so I don't have to go jolting all around any farther. I do believe I'll never recover from this ride. Latley, I'll not suffer the indignity of having my estate searched. You'll have to take my word that I've seen not a hair on her head. No."
He snapped at a couple of guards who had started to walk toward the manor entrance.
"You do not have my permission to enter my premises. This is folly, insulting folly, and I'll not have it."
"I regret, Duke Naven," said the officer, "that you don't have any choice."
2 of Naven's brown-sashed guards ran to the front door and crossed their halberds.
"Move,"
ordered the officer.
"We take orders from our Duke," one answered with a strained face.
I take orders from the Lord Regent. Get out of the way, or you'll regret it.
The officer pulled his sword. The head of Naven's manor guard, Captain Walmond, came bustling forward.
Sir, he said firmly, do you have a writ to back up this egregious trespass?
Duchess Lutley took a crumpled piece of paper out of a velvet bag. Bowing, Walmont took it from her, scanned it, and passed it to the Duke. The Duke scowled.
I don't care what it says. I simply cannot allow such an insult.
If ever a situation called for peacekeeping, this was it. Though it wasn't his place, Willem felt duty-bound to try. He took his cap off again and walked calmly into the circle of angry faces and threats.
Steady now, gentlemen, fair ladies. Perchance we could talk about this situation before anyone gets hurt, said Willem in his most coaxing manner.
Surely no one wants that, being as you were all intelligent, high-born, reasonable people. Surely if we listen to one another, we can find some solution.
But the Kaskadian officer turned out to be the unreasonable sort. Instantly, he bashed Willem in the temple just with his fist and sword grip, but the blow struck him hard enough to knock him off his feet. From the ground, Willem grasped that the officer's men had roughly shoved Naven's guards aside and started rampaging through the house. Duchess Naven and her daughters started screaming. The second coachman, who had been holding the lead horse's heads, came over to grab Willem's upper arm and help him regain his feet. He said nothing, but the apologetic look on his face spoke for him. Willem tried to clear his head, dimly aware of more bustle. Two guards brought down a big crate from the back of the carriage, opened it, and let loose three hunting dogs that immediately commenced yodeling. The littlest Duchess screamed with terror and tried to climb up her big sister's body.
Now, Missy, no fear, they won't hurt you. These here are the Princella's dogs. They'll be sure to nose her out, said a man Willem assumed served as a hunting master.
He loosed the dogs' leashes. All three dogs immediately set upon Willem, nosing, licking and fawning over him.
The Princella's dogs?
Roared Duke Naven, even more wrathful.
Then why are they jumping on my peacekeeper?
Willem stroked the dogs to show the toddler they didn't bite. He found them quite friendly, though one bore the scar of a knife wound down its flank.
Come on, you curs,
shouted the hunting master, flicking a whip.
Into the house with you.
No, you're not taking those dirty dogs into my house. No! This is too much to bet, Lutley! The insult! Naven, stop them!
Cried his wife.
My dear, said the Duke, as guards and dogs streamed into his manor house and more offended servants started to gather outside in the courtyard. I don't think we have any choice.
But he did stride over to Duchess Lutley, rip the stirrup cup from her plump hands, take a great gulp, and then pass the rest to his wife. An elderly woman, perchance a laundress, all Willem knew was that her sleeves were pushed up and her hands soapy, came up to him.
Your brow's bleeding,
she whispered, offering him her apron. Willem thanked her and dabbed at his cut. Six armed men stood guard over the assembled household with unfriendly faces. The youngest Duchette, now held safely aloft by a servant, stopped crying.
Excuse me, Willem said to the guards. I'm just going to water my horse at the trough over there.
The man nodded. Syrup drank thirstily, and Willem pumped some fresh water to splash on his own face and neck. Everyone heard the noise of furniture being shoved aside inside the house. The Duchess's face turned into a mask of fury. Duchess Lutley chattered to the Duke, but from the jut of Naven's chin, nothing worked to mollify him. The servants eyed the foreign guards and threatening weapons with sullen fear. Minutes dragged by uncomfortably. Guards' occasional shouts rang out.
No one in the barn! The cellars are clear! We're checking the granary next!
The officer returned to the front of the house after dispatching his underlings in the direction of the outlying cottages. He noticed Willem.
Ah, you guide. I regret that.
He motioned toward Willem's temple.
You all right?
I'll be fine.
Well, then no one needs you here now. On your way.
Willem walked Syrup back to where the Duke, his face stony, bouncing a little on his heels, stood. Willem doffed his cap.
Duke Naven, he began.
Peacekeeper, I'll not forget your stout heart. Nothing you can do here, and you've a fair ride ahead, but I'll never disregard those who do me a service, nor those who do me ill.
He glared at the troop of Kaskadian guards a moment, and then offered Willem his hand, saying with automatic politeness,
Off you go, Willem. Give our regards to your missus.
Willem bent his head and turned Syrup toward Winton, eager to be home and away from the quarrels of gentry.